Thank you, Kathy. How are you guys doing? You guys all right? Awesome, awesome. We are talking about the B in our core values this morning. We're starting off talking about the B, which is Bible. And before I keep going, if you haven't registered for a camp yet and you're still humming and hawing, don't hum and haw anymore, just do it. All right, just come and talk to me about it. Register with me. There's forms out in the table in the back in the foyer, so get your forms out there. And it's happening in a couple of weeks. So we're going to have a good time together. And I'm looking forward to it, just spending time with my church family. And I hope you guys would look forward to that as well. So please camp, come camping with us. Even if you're new here, please do so too. You're more than welcome to join us. So like I said, we were talking about the B in our core values. And I know for a lot of us, getting around to reading the Bible has become less of a priority than it should be, right? My goal over the next couple of weeks is to remind us all about the beauty and the wonder and the mystery of reading God's Word. It's difficult. Believe me, I know this. It's difficult. But we'll hopefully, at the end of this, we'll treat it as God's Word. It's God's Word to us. And that we'll actually spend time with God's Word, pouring over it, letting us read us as much as we read it, having it change us. So that's my encouragement to you guys, is to rediscover this, or to discover this for the first time. But the way I see it, for a lot of people, there are a few ways of understanding the Bible, right? For a long time, I grew up going to church and I grew up reading the Bible. One of the first, when I started doing sort of having devotion time when I was in about grade 5, my brother, I had a Bible that one of my sisters gave me for Christmas, and my brother said, you know, you can't just let it sit on the shelf. You can't just bring it to church and just not open it up. You got to read it, right? And so he got me reading Matthew, the book of Matthew, and he said, read a chapter a day, and that's all you need to do. And so I started reading that. But I grew up in the Sunday school, I grew up going to church, and the way I understood the Bible was, it was kind of like a collection of stories about God and Israel, right, and Jesus. And so this is how I grew up. This is how I was taught. I grew up with the stories of Moses and the Exodus. I grew up with the Ten Commandments. I was taught about David and Goliath, right? These amazing stories, the walls of Jericho coming down. Zacchaeus, who was a wee little man. I was taught about Jesus and the Christmas story, his death and the cross. And so the way I understood Scripture was that it was a collection of stories or events in the life of Israel. And it wasn't much more than that to me. And so I was never sure how it all fit together. Like what is the point of all these stories other than just to tell good stories? Other than the fact that to give our Sunday school teachers a good story to tell every Sunday. Another way I think people understand the Bible is that they understand it as a guidebook, a book of good advice. Right? So here's an example. One of the things I heard people doing, I never really did this myself when I was younger than my faith. And I can't remember where I first heard this from, but there's this technique of praying and reading the Bible. And maybe you've heard of it, but it's like, you're going through some crisis in life. You're going through some stuff, some major decision, and you're like, Lord, speak to me. And you close your eyes and you open your Bible, and wherever your finger lands, that's God's message to you, right? You ever done that? You ever heard of that? So you open up to a random page, and God would have some kind of miraculous message for you. So, for example, some guy likes a girl, and God is like, God, is this? I really like this girl. Should I go for her? Should I go for her? And then, is this your will? And you open up the Bible, and your finger lands on the page, and it says, it's better to live alone in the desert than with a crabby, complaining wife. Right? Proverbs 21:19. Right? So he's like, God, are you saying that I got to be single for the rest of my life? Right? So it doesn't work necessarily, right? The way it should. So still, another way people look at the Bible is like it's a book of rules for living. Like, a lot of it, people would say, it's like, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do this. And if it isn't an actual rule or law, then it's kind of, let's look how Paul handled this situation and follow what he did. Or let's look at how David handled this situation and follow what he did.
So
for a lot of us, it's a book of rules on how to do stuff. Well, the thing about the Bible is that there are a lot of good stories. There are a lot of good rules in here. There's a lot of good advice for life. But it's actually way more than that. Because when I started understanding the Bible as a whole, I was actually kind of making these connections, that it was actually telling one big story with a really, really compelling plot. That's when the Bible started to click and make sense to me. Right? This is when it starts to make sense. And then I was able to make these connections between the different stories. And then as I made those connections, more between this book, between the words in this book and my own life.
Right.
So, and it's this, and what it is, this is a story here. This is the story of how God created everything out of love and how he's going to fix everything out of love. This is essentially the plot line of this. And he's going to do it all through Jesus, right? And in every good story, we all know, if we read a good story, there's some kind of problem that a hero comes along and fixes, right? And that hero is Jesus. This is what all of this Bible is all about. All in my book, there's 1,106 pages. This is what that's all about. And this is what the plot line is. It's the best story ever. Because the story pulls us into it. Right? We get involved in this story. It's real life for us.
Right,
so the hero of the story is Jesus. This book is all about Jesus. How do we know this? Because, well, we're reading our passage, God's law is fulfilled in Jesus because all of Scripture leads us to Jesus. I preached on this passage in Matthew 5:17-20 last year, so some of this stuff might be familiar to you guys. But all of this, all of Scripture leads to Jesus. This is how we need to read the Bible. We need to read it in light of Jesus. So we're going to read this passage together, Matthew 5:17-20. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I'm going to read this, I'm going to pray, and we're going to keep going. Right? So, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. And this passage is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, which is basically a guideline for how Christians are supposed to live and how Christians are supposed to act. He says this, do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for your words to us, Jesus. We pray, God, that your word to us would pierce our hearts this morning. I pray that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. Would you fill this place? Would you fill our hearts, God? God, so many of us have grown weary of reading your scripture, of reading your word, God. I just pray that we just lay ourselves down at your feet. I pray that you would just forgive us for taking for granted your word to us, Lord. For taking these words here in this book as just ink on a page, that we discard it, that we not lift it up as your word, God, to us. And so, Lord, I pray that this morning you would just open up our ears and you open up our hearts to more of you, that you would fill us, that you would convict us, that you place this burden and this desire in us to know you and to read about you and to reflect on you and to question everything in here and to ask questions and to wrestle with it and to get to know who you are and what you say you're going to do in this world. Lord, help us to know you, Jesus. I pray that as I preach your word that I will not get in the way of it. The Holy Spirit, these words would go directly into our hearts this morning.
去解決問題。
We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
我講呢個嘅故事。
Amen. So,
係要想表達同一樣
嘅事情。First thing I want to say is the Bible is all about Jesus. Okay. So have you? We've been talking about this earlier, but how have you guys been taught to read the Bible?
Like,
just to go back a little bit on what I was saying, like one way we read the Bible is we read the entire Old Testament in kind of a historical way.
We read the Bible in kind of a
And what I mean by this is that we read the Old Testament, read the New Testament as a series of episodes and stories in the life of Israel, right? And what God does with Israel. So we read it without connecting it to the gospel at all. To this grander story, we're not sure how to connect these smaller stories with the bigger stories. So we read Genesis all the way to Malachi as kind of like a prequel to the New Testament, right? It's like the backstory, but there's no real connection that we can make to the story of Jesus. And so we read this, something like the story of Moses and the Exodus and the Ten Commandments. We read about Abraham and his many sons, right? We read about David and Goliath, and they seem like stories in themselves, and they're good self-contained stories that we can read them and draw a lot of insight from them, and a lot of lessons, right? They're part of the Bible, but at the same time, we don't...
但係最緊要嘅係，我哋唔會因為唔明白主而離去。
So we look at the Bible as a collection of stories that we might find it hard to see how it all fits together.
But when Jesus
comes along and he says that I have not come to abolish the law or the prophets, but to fulfill them, what is he saying? He's talking about the law and the prophets. He's talking basically about the Old Testament, right? The Jewish law. Back then, they didn't call it the Old Testament. Only Christians now call it the Old Testament. But back then, it was just scripture. It was just the law. It's just the Torah. He's talking about the Jewish Bible, right? It's the Jewish law. He's talking about the Pentateuch, Genesis to Deuteronomy. He's talking about all 613 laws in the Old Testament, right? He's talking about all the historical books.
Joshua, Judges,
1st, 2nd Samuel, all those ones, Psalms, the wisdom books, Proverbs. He's talking about all the prophet books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all those books. He's talking about all of it.
And
so some people read the Old Testament, but maybe they have lots of problems with it. Like, so they read about how God made the sun stop so Joshua can win a battle, and they have a problem with the physics of that, the science behind it. They read about how God seems to condone genocide and war, and they have a problem with that. People have a problem with the Noah's Ark story. They can't reason and rationally think about how can you fit all these animals in this boat. It doesn't make sense logically to some people. It just seems too fantastic, too mythological. But what does Jesus say about it? He says in verse 18, he says, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. I mean, this is a pretty strong statement Jesus is saying. Right? An iota is literally the smallest part, smallest letter of the Greek alphabet. It just basically looks like an I without the dot. And a dot is obviously pretty small. So basically he's saying, not the smallest letter, not even the smallest part of the smallest letter will pass away. All of it's going to be relevant. All of it is relevant. You can't just throw away one thing in the Bible because you don't like what it says and only keep the things that you like. It's all valid. It's all God's word. It won't fade away until everything God's plan for all of creation is accomplished. This is what Jesus is saying. Everything the Bible talks about is going to happen. Every prophecy is going to happen. Every promise will be fulfilled. Not one iota or dot is going to be forgotten. God is running the show. Everything's going to be done. Okay? This is what Jesus is saying. So if Jesus Christ himself says this about Scripture, what do you think he says about the Bible that we have? God's Word. You must believe absolutely that this is the word of God. If this is what Jesus is saying about Scripture, he must believe it absolutely is the word of God, that it's completely divine, that it's completely without blemish, that it's perfect just the way it is. Matter of fact, it's his word because he's God. It's Jesus' word. But it would also mean that it's that this book here,
所以佢哋遇到唔明白嘅时候就跌倒，
远离主。
但系西门彼得，佢哋认识主耶稣基督，并唔系咁表面。
虽然佢哋又唔明白，
但系你冇离开，因为你知道主嘅话。
There is power in this. The things it talks about are going to change the world. It has been changing the world for a couple thousand years. And the thing it talks about will be accomplished.
Look,
if you're a Christian and you're having problems with some of what you read in Scripture, I don't want to have to argue with
you. You're going to have to argue with Jesus.
Because if you're saying, I like Jesus, but I don't like a lot of what the rest of the Bible has to say, then you've got a pretty big problem. Because you say you want to follow Jesus, but you're rejecting what Jesus believes about his word. What he's saying then,
is
all of Jewish law, the Old Testament, I haven't come to abolish it, I've actually come to fulfill it. Now, what does that mean to fulfill? What does it mean that Jesus fulfilled the law? If you read on in chapter 5,
all the way to basically all the way to 40, chapter, verse 48,
in the Sermon on the Mount here, you'll see that Jesus presents us with five cases on how to read the Bible. So he talks about, if you're familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about murder, he talks about adultery, he talks about oaths, he talks about retaliation and love for enemies. You'll see that in each one of these episodes, Jesus starts off with, you've heard it said, and then he'll give the Old Testament law, he'll say, you've heard it said this, he'll refer to it, and then he'll say, but I say to you this.
Right?
So Jesus isn't saying, forget about those laws, they're irrelevant now. That's not what he's saying. He's not abolishing them. What he's saying instead is, he's reinterpreting these laws in light of who he is. Right? For example, in verse 21 says, you have heard it was said of old, you shall not murder. Right? But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. So Jesus isn't nullifying that law, do not murder. He's saying he's reinterpreted in light of himself, right? So when Jesus uses the Greek word that's translated into fulfill, it's literally, it literally means to fill to the full. Not a stretch there, but it means to fill to the full. It's used in a sense that Jesus is literally the fullest sense of the law. It's filled to the full. The law is filled to the full in Jesus. The law is made complete in Jesus. And when you take chapter 5, verse 21 to 48 into consideration, we can understand the word fulfill a little bit better. Right? Jesus is bringing the law into its intended meaning. Everything the law was supposed to mean, now it makes sense because of Jesus. Okay? Jesus is showing us the truest meaning of the law. The law is now complete in Jesus because in his life and in his teaching, what the law is trying to say and do finally makes sense.
See,
Jesus is making this crazy, startling claim here. Because what he's saying is that all of Scripture then points to him. Jesus is the point of the Bible. He fulfills the prophets and the law, and he fulfills what the prophets predicted and then what the law anticipated. Right? The Old Testament takes on a face, and that face is Jesus. Right? The whole point of the Bible is Jesus.
And
so Genesis 1 isn't just about God created everything. It's about Jesus Christ, who is God, who all things were created by him, and all things are held together through him, in him. When God creates Adam and Eve in his image, they were a reflection of Jesus, who is the truest and the most perfect image of God. Right? When the Old Testament talks about Moses leading the people of God, the Israelites, out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land, it points to Jesus, who is the new Moses, leading, who ultimately frees everyone, all of humanity, from slavery, and leads us out from slavery to sin, and ushers us into the kingdom of God. Everything in Scripture points to Jesus. John 1 talks about Jesus. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
For some reason, God chose to use words. 主就是那灵，主的灵在哪里，哪里就得以自由。最后第十八节，我们众人既然倘念得以看见主的荣光，好像从镜子里反照，就变成
Everything God wants to reveal about himself is in Jesus. If you want to look at what God is like, you look at what Jesus is like. Therefore, all of Scripture, all of God's word points to Jesus. It's all about him. Everything in this book is all about Jesus. But the Bible might be confusing at times. I'll be the first one to tell you this. It's going to be hard to understand. Because you're taking things that happened a few thousand years ago and you're trying to make sense of them here in the 21st century. It doesn't always work well. But Jesus comes along and says, now this whole book has a central theme, has a central character, has a central hero, and a central story, and I'm in the middle of all of this. This is what Jesus is saying. So next point, we follow Jesus who follows the law. And so there's another way that Jesus followed the law. There's another way that Jesus completed it. There's another way that Jesus fulfilled the law. There's another way that Jesus completed it. This whole time, right? Jesus is calling his disciples to a higher standard of living. All through the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is doing is calling his disciples, the people that were following him, the people that gathered around him, to a higher standard of living. Now that you're a Christian, now that you believe in me and following me, you got to live your life differently, okay? So what he's saying is, Jesus fulfilled the law. Are we supposed to follow the law then? What are we supposed to do? Follow the law or follow Jesus?
Right.
Well, it's not really an either-or situation here. It's kind of a both-and, right? We're supposed to follow Jesus who followed the law. Okay? So, we should know by now that the law isn't just some man-made system of morals, right? It's actually something that came from God himself. God instilled in us a set of morals. Natural law, so to speak. But he also gave us in written form and documented this in the Old Testament, in the law here. And he gives us his morals. And we've already seen how Jesus sees this and believes it and takes it very seriously. In fact, he lives his life around it. He's Jewish through and through. He follows the Jewish law. And when Jesus says, I have come to fulfill the law, he's saying, I fulfill the law in the sense that Scripture points to me, like we've been saying this. But he's also saying, I have come to fulfill the law for you. I've come to fulfill the law for you. Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes about this passage in his brilliant book, The Cost of Discipleship. He says that Jesus' concern is ultimately for a better righteousness. He wants us to live in a better righteousness. In other words, he's saying, yeah, we need to follow every law to the letter. Yeah, we cannot drop and relax any of these laws. But he's saying it's not just about the rules. What Jesus is getting at that is that ultimately we need a better righteousness if we want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Jesus says that if we don't have this better righteousness, we straight up will not enter the kingdom of heaven. But here's the thing. Every single person, God calls us to fulfill the law. We're supposed to do the law. We're supposed to keep the law. But as we know, we're human. There's no one here who is able to achieve this better righteousness on our own. We can't do it. We know we can't do it. I mean, there's 613 laws in the Old Testament, and that's going to be pretty hard to keep, right?
But
we can barely keep the 10 of them. Right? Guaranteed, we're going to slip up. So how do we enter the kingdom of God if this is us, if we're this imperfect, if we're never going to be able to attain and accomplish and fulfill all of these laws? How are we going to enter the kingdom of God? How are we going to be saved? How do we get this better righteousness? Jesus says, I have come to fulfill the law.
I take the law more seriously than any Pharisee ever could.
I've lived a sinless life. I've followed the law perfectly because you cannot.
其实伤害可以好大。
I did it so that anyone who believes in me and submits to me can have my better righteousness.
因为一个人嘅先入为主嘅谂法系好容易有偏见，产生不必要嘅误会。
I'm giving it to you. It's a gift to you.
And
God will accept you not because of your own righteousness, because of because you have my righteousness, and it's perfect. 嘅
男士一齐坐巴士，差唔多去到总站啦。车上得翻两个人。年轻嘅人就问呢个嘅中年人：先生
，I can't create righteousness.
对方冇。
I can't be more righteous. The more I try, the harder I try, the better I follow the law. My righteousness, any righteousness that I have, is Jesus' righteousness in me.So Jesus doesn't invalidate the law. He doesn't just throw it away. He himself fulfills it. He lives it. He does it. But just because he fulfills it doesn't mean he cancels it out. Doesn't mean that we don't have to follow what the Bible tells us to do. Because this is what discipleship is all about, right? If we seek to follow Jesus and Jesus followed the law, then we seek to follow the law, right? It makes logical sense. We followed the law perfectly. If we, as disciples, are to follow Jesus who saved us through faith, we need to strive to follow that law as well.
你一定好想認識我個女，
因為我個女生
得好靚，有你
而你亦都幾
靚仔。而我嘅經驗，你一定想識我。
We're not going to be perfect.
以我嘅經驗，你一定想識我。我個女相信都好想識你。如果俾你兩個相識嘅話，到時你兩個就好快愛上對方。冇幾耐，你就會娶我個女，你會搶走我心愛嘅女女。
Jesus says, whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom. It's not enough. It's not enough that, to say, man, I believe the Bible is the word of God and that it points to Jesus who fulfilled it. We need to do what Jesus teaches. We need to do it. We need to live it.But not only that, we need to teach it. We need to teach what Jesus teaches. We need to show people what it means to live out the Bible. We need to be constantly and lovingly holding one another up to the standard of the Bible. This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus is calling us to. How you're living your life is not it.
This is what the Bible says. This is what Jesus is calling us to. How you're living your life is not it. You've got to follow Jesus. You've got to follow Jesus.
But in order for this to happen, we need to know what the Bible actually says, right?
神父，神父，點解有人會
幻想？It's no use saying I believe in the Bible, but we never crack it open.
呢個神父好唔客氣咁樣講。
It does you no good whatsoever to say you follow Jesus without actually taking the time to look through this book to see what Jesus did so that you can follow what he did and how he lived and who he was.And it's not enough for you to be at church and listen to me talk about Jesus and talk about the Bible. You need to discover him for yourself.
You need to mind this book for the treasures that are
in it. You're waiting for you to be discovered.You read it, you search it, you memorize it, you study it, you question it, you grasp it, you grapple with it, you wrestle with it. But one thing you'll do as you do this earnestly is that the Bible is actually searching it.
不是我有關節炎，是剛才我看報紙的時間才知道你個教皇。
The Bible seeks you out and pierces your heart because it's ultimately about Jesus. Jesus is piercing your heart as you read these words.So this is a question that I have to ask you this morning. Man, do you actually read scripture?
会害死人。在读圣经的时间，我们一定都需要除去我们内心的偏见，否则它很难明白神的说话。而这些偏见的拍子一定要除去，我们要一心来归向祂，拍子才可以除去。当你每次读主的说话的时间，我们就要敞开自己的心，释放自己的灵，一心来仰望主，而不容许任何的拍子阻住去光照神的说话，让我们能够真真看，真真确确来到看得见 神嘅荣
光。This is God's word to us, man.
让我哋一同喺第一点到，
great power.
我哋一同嚟到归向主。第二
点，让我哋心里边嘅拍子完全除去。And he meets up with two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But for some reason, they don't recognize him as Jesus at first, right?
我哋一齐带住纯洁嘅心嚟到主嘅面前，让主嘅灵好似有咁藉着我哋读佢嘅话语喺我哋里边工作。
Them on the street.
But they didn't recognize Jesus.
And then Jesus is, they're talking to Jesus, and Jesus explains to him about the scriptures, it says. And it says in verse 27, beginning, it says he's explaining about scriptures, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself.
Right?
Once again, he's saying, everything in scripture is about myself. And after Jesus walks away, these two disciples look at each other and say, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened us to the scriptures? I mean, does this happen to you when you read scripture? You read scripture and it reaches out and reveals your life to you. It makes you, your heart burn within you. That like you read it, this is what God is saying to me and this is what I'm going to do about it. That's letting scripture search you. That's letting scripture that's fulfilled in Jesus change your heart. Are you reading it because you want to learn more information about Christianity? That's a good thing. But if this is just how you read the Bible, you're missing out because the Bible will change your life if you let it.
It can change you. It's not just how,
it's a way to help you live a better life for yourself. It's not just a book of good advice or a book of interesting stories. The Bible is fulfilled in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It points us to Him. You can't follow Jesus unless you know who to follow. You can't follow Jesus unless you know who you're following. You can't know Jesus and expect to have your life transformed by him if you don't listen to his word.
And in his word, as we go into a time of communion,
in his word it describes how Jesus himself calls us to remember him through the bread and the cup. And I'm just going to ask the communion stewards to come forward. This morning, and every Sunday of the month, we celebrate the bread, the cup, the Lord's table together. And as we do that this morning, what we want to remember is Jesus, the Word, gave up his life. His body was broken for us. His blood was shed for us. So that we can have this better righteousness. That we exchange our sin and our guilt and our brokenness. And it all goes on his shoulders when he died on the cross. And that he transfers all his righteousness to us when we come to faith in him. This is what it says in his word. This is how we achieve a better righteousness. It's not on our own. It's not by trying to follow the law better. But it's simply by following him.
In 1
Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, it says,
For I, Paul, received from the Lord what I also delivered to you. But the Lord sits in the night when he was betrayed to bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said,
This is my body, which is for you.
Do this in remembrance of me.
In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You see, the bread in the cup is not just about a bread in the cup. These are symbolic. This is a meal we're having here with Jesus. It symbolizes the gospel.
And how Jesus died on the cross on our behalf, our blood was shed for our forgiveness, and washed us clean. And that he invites us in
to share in this meal together with him, to his dining table,
亲爱的弟兄姊妹,
to his banqueting table,
由旧约转到新约,
as his brothers,
新约,
sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father adopted by him,
不是只是仅仅写在外面,
because of what Jesus did,
而要我们写在心里
面, he invites us all to participate,
让我们心里面,
and we celebrate
all that
Jesus did,
叫我们更加能够真真正正,
we celebrate all that God did through Jesus.
一同将主嘅说话丰丰富富咁存喺心里边，因为我哋嘅神
，This is what communion is all about。
呢个心愿系要万，
So we're going to pray right now，
并且明白真道。
And I'm just going to give you a moment right now to prepare our hearts。
我哋从小到大都能够认识佢。希伯来书刚才我哋读嘅经文，就系从小到大都能够认识佢。从小到大唔系话由细个到大个咁简单，而系意思话我哋嘅属灵生命啊，或者我哋啱信主又好。我哋信主几十年都好，无论最细嘅定系最大嘅，主都愿意我哋嚟到认识佢。我哋啱啱认识佢嘅，我哋认识佢；我哋认识佢几十年嘅，我哋都认识佢。而且我哋唔系净系从外边嚟到认识佢。如果真系嘅话，就非常之可怜。我哋都要，我哋需要对主认识更加深。认识主要更加完备。
I just give you time right now to reflect and to meditate，
就系呢一方面。
To lay down the things on our hearts。Things that God is convicting you of, things that are burdening you, the unconfessed sins in our hearts that we just
know.
That are lurking in our hearts, and we sometimes just don't
want
to let go, or we're just too ashamed to think about. We need
eternal food to work hard.我哋将主嘅说话丰丰富富咁存喺心里边，唔系写喺出边。我哋需要认识主嘅说话，要喺心嘅里边。我哋将主嘅说话丰丰富富咁存喺我哋嘅心里边，咁样我哋只能够将主嘅说话活出嚟，藉着主嘅说话，你要认识佢哋更加深，认识佢更加深。呢啲先至系主嘅心意。
Jesus, we just ask that you just fill us this morning.
初初认识他，到认识他好多年，都是一样的期望。
God, I pray that we would experience more of you.
来到满足神他自己的心意。我们要认识神，
是
要
藉
着主的说话。主的说话使我们能够战胜这个世界，战胜撒旦，战胜试探。战胜罪恶的诱惑，
并且读出主的生命。当主的生命在我们里面
越长进的时间，我们越能够对将来充满了盼望。
Things that are coming between
us worshiping you, 能够对将来充满了盼望。
Maybe that we've been thinking about or doing in our lives.
这个是神同我们所立的约，
or ways we've been.
他要将律法写在我们的里面。
That just fall short of you, God.
我们的心里面的生命，
we lay these things down at your feet,
不断爱慕
Jesus.
主的说话。赐俾我哋悟性，
we know that you, Jesus, died for it.
使我哋能够更加明白更加多主嘅说话。我哋要有一个藉着生命嘅感受，嚟到更加渴慕主嘅说话。而另外一方面，我都需要喺主嘅说话里边嚟到花功夫。
That everything that you did all this,
一年三百六十五日都希望每日我都能够读经背经，圣灵就能够喺我哋身上嚟到工作，以致我哋跟随。
Every sickness that you would heal, every dark place in our hearts, you would shine a light on. This is what you died for. This is what it was all about. Our heart must
belong to God. So God, I pray that we would
not take that for granted. We would not take that for granted. We would not take
that for granted. We would not take that
for granted. We would come before at the foot of the cross as broken and empty sinners.
No shortcut.每一日
But yet, in the new life, when you rise again, you can be filled with the new life
that will
come to you in faith and repentance.
当我们认识神的心意的时候,
that you value us so much that God, you would die for us.
是要我们从小到大来到认识祂。无论我们得救几耐,
so that we can have life.
最小的到大的都必须要认识主。这个是神的心意。
We thank you so much, God, and as we come before you to celebrate the Lord's table this morning, God, we celebrate you, Jesus, where you've brought us from, where we are now. How in Jesus you lift us up, God, and seated us in the heavenly realms. And it's all by your grace. It's not by anything we did. We thank you, Jesus.We thank you. Amen.